enemy of Ibrahim after that, in order to overcome the devil. This was the revisiting of the message of Allah, even to say that when we say La ilaha illallah, there is only one authority, and that is the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the only authority that we will submit to. This call only in the society of Jahiliyyah actually changed value. It changes the value. The Kabali as a tribe, the power of the tribe was shaped as good as the first one who followed the Holy Prophet. They were those young. They were those young minds who could perceive what the Holy Prophet was talking about. It was not the Malai and the Mukrifun who were well endowed with everything. It was not the tribal leaders who were the first ones to follow Islam. For them to follow Islam was a matter of pragmatism. It was for the young whose idealism shown that they were able to follow the future of the Muslim Ummah. When the Holy Prophet looked at it, he was amongst the young that this message permeated. It was the young who walked the streets of Mecca with the Holy Prophet, being beaten with stones. We have the story of many. Ammar was one of them. His parents, Yasir and Sulayn, his mother and his father, were surprised at the action of Ammar, and they could not understand it. The message of Tawheed to say, what is the meaning of one Lord? They were idol worshippers. But suddenly in their home, when the idol falls down, the mother starts thinking. Because they were the women. Then the message permeated. Sumaya started thinking to say that a God which cannot save his own self, falls down and breaks. What kind of a God is this? Maybe Allah is the point when he listens to the Prophet. That there is a God who is all powerful and not the stone that I worship in she became. And indeed the parents were the most first martyrs of Islam, those who know the history of Islam with their meow, that they were the first martyrs of Islam. This is how the message of La ilaha illallah permeated in that society. It was a cause that changed values. It brought in the idea of human life and equality. When Hazrat Bilal was able to perceive truly in his heart, the message of La ilaha illallah penetrated in that heart. That was the time he was able to stand up to his master and challenge them that you may only physically, you can never succeed. This will be freedom. This will be salah of a slave who could raise up against his master. And when the tribal leaders saw this, they became extremely worried to say what kind of values are these creatures. So it was not just a matter of reducing the number of gods down to one. He was the whole philosophy of monotheism, which was supposed to change the society, and it did. Before I move on to the subject, I would like to describe to you this one aspect of how the balance to exist, the kind of tolerance, the giving nature of communism. The tolerance that was preached by the Holy Prophet, for example, the Allah alayhi wa sallam. What he taught me, a man brings fruit in the presence of the Blessed One. May I quote a full moment, just for a little bit forward so that the others are coming down in front of you. Just a little bit, please. Man comes in the presence of the Blessed Prophet, presents of food, as was the custom of the time. And the Holy Prophet receives the food, great food, and eats a little bit of the food. This is the custom that the very first harvest would be brought to the Holy Prophet, you know, in respect. They would bring the very first harvest of the season in the presence of the Prophet. And this man brings the kashi, and he finishes the food and he gets nervous, and then goes on to eat the third. And the fourth one is pretty good. He finished all the food that the man had brought. Now the custom used to be, and it is so in every society, you say, somebody brings some food, you share. This was the way of the problem. There was, when the man left, people who were sitting with him, and you know that people were with him, all their lives, they couldn't understand. I don't talk about it, but this is how it is. They didn't understand it. And there were all people who asked, said, Ya Rasulallah, how is it that there is no share for us today? You have all the fruit, and we have no share? And the Prophet smiled and said nothing. They persisted to say, please tell us, Ya Rasulallah, what is the reason? This is the highest of us. People say that the Islam is a violent religion. The media portrays it as terrorism. They should maybe read, take a chapter, take a leaf from the book of the Holy Quran. This is the height of tolerance, this is the height of human sensitivity. The Holy Prophet smiled and said, you know, the food that this man brought, in his eagerness to bring me the food was better, it was still not right. And if I had given it to any of you to share, one of you may have said that this food is bitter and may have made a comment which has hurt the feelings of this man who brought this food to me. It was better than the Prophet. Take from the bitter food and eat it all in order to see that the feeling of the man is this is tolerance. This is the sensitivity that our praise teaches us. We hear from me. We talked about an intentional society yesterday and an accidental society. In an intentional society, the mu'min, the people who are within that society, have relations, interrelations, interactions with each other. And the idea is to behave in such a way that the time of the mu'min should be said that it does not hurt anybody. This is the teaching of the Prophet. This is what we mean by falah, that when you have a society, when people have that thing imbibed in them, the message of La ilaha illallah in that manner, then is the time that the society will progress and there will be falah. If there is backbiting, if there is backhunting, if there is criticizing all the time, how can a society progress? These are the simple lessons that we learn, these are simple, yet profound. The society of Medina was another society. A society of giving. With all the arches that existed, and with the sidra of taking, the sidra of eating what you had, how did the Ansar get convinced? I ask. How did the Ansar get convinced to share half their wealth with the Muhammadis? There was some chemistry working here. If they invite the message of La ilaha illallah, when the Holy Prophet of Islam told them that in order to become givers, you have to prove so that there is a better, there is a better reward waiting for you, it was that belief. It was that yaqeen, it was that belief in the concept of La ilaha illallah, that there, he is the best of the givers. If I give because the Prophet has asked me to give, I want to get better. It was that giver that made the Ansar share half what they had with the Muhammad. It's psychology. It is a psychology. For example, and this is an example that you give of children, it applies to all of us. A child is sitting there, and he has a toy of some kind. And you say that give that game boy or whatever the toy may be to your younger brother or your sister, you won't do it. This is mine. I got it. For either whatever it is mine, I'm not going to give it. But if the father comes and says, you'll give it to him, I'm going to give you a bigger and a better toy. The child will immediately give it. The idea was the instinct of taking was converted into the instinct of giving. Why? Because the child had the faith in the father to say that the father is going to bring me something better, and therefore my fitra of taking converted into the fitra of giving. Now, if the father every time talks about bringing a bigger toy and never does it, it happens to him anymore. But it's never up to you. No, no, no. We believe it never comes. When it never comes, the child loses faith. Next time, you ask him to do it, he won't do it. So it was a matter of, the people are changing, provided you have your faith, provided you have it. You have the belief in Iman upon the Father saying he will bring. This is our test moment. Do we believe the Prophet or not? The people in Medina did. La ilaha illallah, this is how la ilaha illallah benefited this society. If we are asked to give for here, to earn for the hereafter, it is the basis of that faith which will enable us to change our fitra from a fitra of taking, the instinct of taking, into an instinct of giving. This is the test moment of
Muhammad.
Far be it for me to ask for any funds. You must be intended there and doing a great show, lecture. But no meaning, it's an investor society. When we gather together and we want to do something, we can move mountains. Constructing a center, in the name of Imam Ahmed al-Islam, in the name of Aima, in the service of Imam Ibrahim al-Islam, is a noble thing. And wherever the centers are, whether it is here, whether it is elsewhere, when we take on this project, I said this yesterday, that it is these centers which are going to cater for this generation here. This is what we are building for. We are building for the future. But what we need, contribution of funds to a given cause is time. Should be done. The instinct of giving needs to be inculcated in all of us. We have been buried in the end of La Ilaha Illallah into us. But more important. And yesterday, Brother comes to me and said, there is kums upon money. What about kums on the land? 20% of our time, you are looking after the rest of humanity. Community service, sometimes, it's how one contributes what valuable time in the service of humanity for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're talking about generosity. Because people talk about generosity. In the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, لَنْ تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. That never shall you receive righteousness unless you give something out of which that you love. Most people think, you know, we are talking about money. No, we are not. If your life is valuable to you, then making the righteousness is giving up that life is shown in God. This is the message of Kabbalah. But we are not asking you our lives. We are asking you to give it every time. Time which is among us for us, which has been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do good deeds. In within this society that we live in, we talked about constantly concentrated of yesterday. Today, if you can do good to your family, you do good to your family first. You move on to your immediate community, to your city, to your Muslim brothers, to the world at large, the teaching of Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim. If I talk to my neighbor for half an hour in terms of humanity and Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim, the teaching, I have spent my time valuably rather than working the boss. September 11th has opened our eyes. It was perhaps a wake-up call for those of us who live in this land, for those of us who live in North America in particular, in the U.S. in general. That if we are going to take the time, each one of us, we may, somebody has to do it. Someone has to do it, not me. We have to promote Islam, we have God. We have to promote our faith. Well, each one of us is responsible to do it. It's a matter of that generosity and giving up that time in the service of humanity and for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time is the essence of life. And it is so valuable. If you give money and you're not given to a particularly good cause, maybe you learn someone and you'll give it. But if you give your time, if you decide to give your time, not it away, and you give your time to the wrong cause, that time is not going to come back. What you can do today, you will not be able to do tomorrow because that time is gone. Time is our capital. If you eat away, or if you spend the investment capital in the wrong place, then you will never be able to recoup that capital. You can lose your profits and you can still be back in business. But if you lose your capital, you have made a profit. Time is our capital. And just as when you go for Hajj, I don't know whether that still happens in the way that happened when I last went there, that you do not have to cure that to be perfect. You have to make sure that that Zumba, that lamb that you are choosing has to be perfect. Qurbani has got to be perfect. There cannot be, and I'm coming to the point, that there cannot be, coming to the punchline, that there cannot be, when we give Qurbani, when we give a sacrifice, there cannot be any perfection in that. But if given it for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it must be with the knee of Qulus and Allah. And Qurbani cannot be imperfect to be imperfect. If I have given it, if in the days to come we talk about the different kinds of gods, of nafs that we pray to sometimes, we talk about Riyah, we can talk about different things. Right now, because it is pertinent to say that if I have given it for any other reason, except for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is some problem with it. And the idea is, this is how, this is the kind of thinking that changes values in a society. And I repeat, what the Holy Prophet of Islam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said that I am not anxious about the encouragement of poverty amongst my community, and that which I am afraid for them is crooked thinking. That is what. That which poverty of thought will bring my community is much worse than that which economic poverty will bring. So what do we mean when we say crooked thinking? And I will come to that in a little bit to say what do we really mean. But right now we need to go to the concept of the worldview of Tawhid. And that is the subject, because we need to understand how we should be thinking, and then we can compare to say, are we thinking like that, or is there some kind of crooked thinking? The height of knowledge, the best of knowledge, the epitome of knowledge, is ways of thinking about Allah, thinking about God. The Quran, in the Holy Prophet, insisted upon us contemplate. Why do they not ponder upon the Quran as they lock from their hearts? So many times we are told to think, to ponder, to make better, to think about ways of Allah, to look at contemplation, to contemplate upon the universe, contemplate upon the simplest of creation. The idea is to contemplate. Why? This is to bring about what we call the intellectual fitra, the intellectual element within us to be able to contemplate, because there are two ways of transmitting knowledge. One is what we call aqli. It is an intellectual transmission, and the other one is naturally which is transmitted science. And both are necessary. By transmitted knowledge, what we mean is tafsir, for example. You don't know how to pray unless somebody is going to teach you how to pray. Contemplation about all the stars will not tell you that you have to pray two rakats for final prayer. The masail, the ahkam, or shara are all bases of the transmitted knowledge, which we call imitation of Hadith. Mu'amila, think about yourself, you cannot. Why do people have to say? Because we accept that they have the knowledge, they have done the research, and they have the right to teach the other. That is why. For intellectual knowledge, we have to ask why. We are talking about direct thinking. There is a place where you can follow. There is a place where you cannot. Intellectual knowledge is obviously of a different sort. The only way to learn that is to understand. If an authority tells you, you simply cannot accept it. You have to understand. There is no tafsir in tafsir. Somebody says, talks about Allah, you need to understand for yourself. There is no tafsir in that. This includes subjects like mathematics, logic, philosophy, theology. Basically, when human intelligence is challenged to ask why, that is the basis of what we call intellectual knowledge. And there is a difference. Taqlid is when you follow. Taqlid is when you have the intellectual knowledge where you ask why and you derive whatever you can derive from your thoughts. By reading others, by understanding, by contemplating. For example, if somebody says, believe that 2 plus 2 is 4, it's not good to you, because that's all you know. But if you understand how 2 plus 2 becomes 4, then you will know that 4 plus 4 will also become 8. You are able to extend that, the intellectualism to that level where it is a matter of perspective. So basically, either you understand it or you don't. The goal of intellectual knowledge is not taqlid, but taqlid. What is taqlid? It is a realization, it's a verification that this is how I know. The authority of the Muslim is in the matter of shah. We are required as Muslims to follow them. Who is a Muslim? We well know that he has someone who is credited with the Holy Quran, the Ahadith, the rulings of the creation that are in the quantum. He has studied various other sciences like logic and what have you, and able to derive laws from the Holy Quran based on a hadith, that he now has the knowledge to speak about it as an authority. It is only in so far as the Quran are concerned that we follow a Muslim. There is no taqlid in usul. In the intellectual sciences, we do not follow a Muslim. We cannot follow a Muslim. And we express this by saying that taqlid in usul is not allowed. In other words, we follow a Muslim in what we practice, but we are forbidden to follow a Muslim in our faith in God, in the Prophet, in the Day of Judgment, and so on and so on. So, the character of thinking needs to be established clear. Where is it that the knowledge, the transmitted knowledge is interrupted? Which is the api, the intellectual knowledge that we are talking about? So you can't say that I believe in God because my Muslim asked me to believe in God. Doesn't work. It does not work. This may be evident, but there are people who sometimes do not understand and have not gone through even the thinking process to say that I'm making taqlid, what I'm making. There are places where the Muslims themselves allow us freedom of thought, even in the matter of our town. For example, in the issue of the cycle of the moon and the taqlid on the moon, the Muslims themselves allow us to say there must be taqlid, there is no taqlid in the following of moon cycle, for example. There are places where we've been asked to challenge. All I know is that here, Imam Ali and Islam, all of them. All of them requested, depending on who was in front of them. By way of the question in such a way that the person was able to derive an answer for it. This is our love for me. You can say your prayer. And he said, you should. Say your prayer from the basis of, you know, how prayer has been prescribed in the Sharia, because this is something that is transmitted. But by simply saying that my father or the Maulana asked me to pray, and therefore I pray, am I going to understand the God that I pray to by just accepting that order? For my young friends, don't stop praying. This is not a thing to say, don't pray. The idea is prayer. Follow all the things. All the items of Sharia at each time, the idea is to understand that when I'm praying to, when I see Allah, who am I praying to? This is the basis of that intellectual knowledge. And therefore, a living intellectual tradition cannot survive without asking, without understanding. For example, one may have a good aptitude for mathematics, physics, chemistry, whatever. One needs to have long years of study, otherwise one doesn't get very far. So by merely saying La ilaha illallah, and then I believe that in the oneness of Allah, I'm not going to get as far. Theology, subjects that pertain to the intellectual sciences, require effort for me when I come back to the idea of time. Then how much of that time will we frittle away things which have no meaning, leaving behind things that really matter? This is building up our capital for here and for the hereafter. When you have a young man in this community, or a young woman in this community, who stands up to ask why? And you can try to continue to ask why. That is the time that we will have a society, which is a vibrant society, which is going to then stand up and say, as part of the 7 million Muslims in this land, here I am, society has defined itself. Otherwise, we will have hundreds of folks and CNN will continue to discuss. So for me, based on that, thinking is not an option. Thinking is not an option. It is a religious obligation. We need to understand that this is a religious obligation. I don't say this lightly, because if we do not think, if we do not understand the usul, how can our ibadah be correct if we don't know which God that we are praying? So thinking is not an option. The Holy Quran does not put any extra burden. Each person's capacity to think is according to him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given that ni'mah for everyone to say. And we need to have that burden of thinking correctly. At the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not ask you or tell you what to think. That is for you. There is not a clean test. Even Allah does not ask you what to think. Because then you would be making taqlid incumbent. Because then he has asked you what to think. This is the basis of freedom when the Holy Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Allahumma salli ala
Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
When he talked about falah, when he talked about freedom, when he talked about freedom of thought, it is that lofty meaning that we need to understand that the thought process deserves freedom. Each one of us has to follow through our own intellectual structure. There are people, particularly in this land when we are so busy, you wake up, you go to work, you come back home, you do whatever, and you are gone from this earth, nothing achieved, no impact on society, society has no impact upon you, you have gone like any other creature that Allah has created, that you are born and you die this way. Abdullah Mukhari in his book, on the polarization of the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib, talks about all kinds of people. That there is that person that I've just described who comes, grazes, and goes on. Then there is another kind of person who comes to this world, and the minute he comes, it is natural that a child cries, screams to say, here I am, O world, I am going to put my cover upon the rest of the world. Here I am. There are some people who are inclined to relate like that. Every child cries, but then after a while, the child stops screaming. But there are some human beings born who continue to scream and disturb and fall through their life. There is nothing but trouble. The impact on society is always negative. There never is any positive impact. You can see there is one sitting in Bangladesh. The impact is always negative. He is always hurt. You can see people like Mark and Yazid and others, those that we correct, those that we condemn are those who always have a negative impact on society. This is another kind of people that when they go, the women are happy, the people are happy to say that this is wrong. In every society there are people like this. Alhamdulillah, in this society we don't have. But in every society you have somebody who is always negative. And then, there is what we call a third kind of people, a third kind of person that Ayatollah Mutala describes in his book. And he's talking about a person who is a diplomat of the Muawiyah government. He is nice to everyone. He has friends. He is a past master of public relations. Everyone is nice to him and he is nice to everyone. If you talk about Tawheed, he is with you. If you talk about Shirk, he is with you. Whichever way, he talks to the Hindus, he talks to the Christians, he talks about pluralism, you know, this new version of Islam. He talks about the idea of pluralism, all ways lead to God. These are the diplomats of what they call, of the Muawiyah Hills, they are nice to everyone. Are you asking me to move back?
I want you to move back and people to move forward.
Sarawak.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Is this money out there?
There's a room for about 5-6 people there.
Please, please,
for the four.
So we were talking about this question, the diplomat of the Moravian Church, about him, and I said to you this morning that Alama Iqbal wrote about this people, this person, that when he died, this is talking about the Indian Muslim society in India of the time, that Alama Iqbal said that first the Muslims will give a ghusl to the water of Dhamsa, and then the Hindus will go and work in Kuwait. This is his faith. In Gujarati, he said, you know, when you try and ride two horses, you naturally fall down. But this is the difference that Ayatollah Mutani talks about. Because the man has no mission, the man has no principle. If the bread is buttered on this side, then I'm here. If the bread is buttered on the other side, then I'm there. This is something where people, and when we, you know, we laugh about this, but sometimes we need to look into ourselves to see that do we sometimes have a little inkling, whether we are in office, whether it's a business deal that we are doing, and by myself showing me as a Muslim, am I going to lose this piece of business? Do I talk about myself, my identity, or not? Or do I keep quiet? Very touching. There are these very subtle things. And inshallah, in the days to come, we'll talk about some examples. But this is a third kind of person. And then the fourth kind of person is one who is a man with a mission. When he has said, La ilaha illallah, there is no moving him from that man. He will cut to the bar about Mawlana Yusufiyan Imam Al-Ali Halam. That he was a man with a mission. He had the best of friends because the impact of such a person in a society is both negative and positive. When he has a friend, he has Salman Farsi. And many others. When he has a friend, he has the best of friends. And when he has an enemy, he has the worst of friends. And we know this. And yet, he will not any of that to exist as to who the personality was. But these are the things. And when they die, people realize he was more sinful. If he was even in our society, so follow that. But this is a man who has fought correctly. This is a man who does not believe in what Ayatollah Mukhtari terms as a relative morality, that morality keeps changing. He's a man with a mission. And each one of us needs to look at this, that for us, none of the three ways are acceptable for the followers of Ali ibn Abi Talib. The only way acceptable, the only way that is direct for us, is to see that we are faith-seeking beings, that we think correctly, that we have a vision, and then we have said, La ilaha illallah, then we have imbibed. La ilaha illallah, into our lives, into our societies, into our families. And when is the time when you said that I now believe in Tawheed? Otherwise, Mu'mineen, if you just go through believing that my rituals, that Allah needs my prayers, and that my namaz and my salat is sufficient, that God wants nothing more from me than my observing prayer. It is for Allah to accept whoever thinks. It is a matter of truth. It's a matter of truth. And so who has to be accepted? It is not safe for me or for you to say. But at least the correct thinking people need to understand that God wants more from us than just observing the Sharia. It is a matter of observing the Sharia with things. There does not mean we need the path of Sharia except for a little thing. Then I look at the Sharia. In case any of my young friends have any different ideas, let me clarify. The Shara must be followed. The Taqreed is a must in the case of Quru. But as you go through that, the idea is to continue to think and think correctly. So, become with this basis of thinking that let me make a small aside and say that we don't know. We don't know who's action or which action is. A great scholar started the way, who had written books, who had done the meal, who had led prayers, and every good thing that a great scholar ought to be doing. That is truth, and go to a shore of justice, and he stopped. He stopped and said, where are you going? He said, I'm going there, that is my place. And the question that he asked, he said, what good deed did you perform so that your voice was at the door? And he was told, he said, look, I led prayers, I wrote books, I made the meal. I spread the word of Islam in the world. And this is my calling, this is my calling of this father. And this is what I did. And the answer comes to say that remember when you're reading those prayers, and one day you had these people who came, scholars who were praying behind you, suddenly your ruku and your qunut and your style of prayers came. Shirk! Shirk! Maulana Muttaka Imam Ali explained, says, how do you determine your personal shirk? It is a difference between how you pray inside your own room and how you pray in public. This is the level of saying that it is for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was saying that but when you pray for the people, then you go to the respect that you want it, so what more do you want? Whatever you want, you got in this world. So you buy your books. My books are still being read. Editions after editions will be published. He said, yes. But when you're writing those books, what you had in your mind was that after me, my name would be preserved in the Library of Congress for the places. That my name would be preserved, that I would be an author of some repute, and my name would remain behind me. So your name is there. And there have been many editions that we published in paperback and in trade paperbacks, in hardbacks, and whatever, and they'll be published. So you got your reward there, what do you want? And he goes on enumerating every one of his acts, and none of those had the idea of qunut. Everyone was mixed with something to say, well, I do this because I'm doing this in the world. And finally, he suddenly said, is there no act of mine? All my life, I did this. Is there no act of mine? Did I get into the door of Jannah? And he was told, yes. There was one act of yours that we like. Remember when you were writing your books, and on that day, when these are the times, not of these computers and what processors, so the day when you would put a holder into your ink pad, and then you would bring it out with the nib and you would start writing. So remember that just as you started writing, a fly came and sat on the nib of your pen, and you waited just for a few seconds to allow that fly to quench its thirst. It was that act of yours which was full of qunut, because you looked after my creature, it is for that reason you go to that door. Who knows which of our acts is going to be accepted? But it is qunut, it is a higher that tells us that it is that qunut, it is a matter of correct thinking. We may do a lot of work. It is like a swimmer who will spill a lot of water, but if he doesn't do it correctly, he is not going to win any race. The idea is, in our good deeds, we spill a lot of water. But are we getting, without correct thinking, what the other two will have? Allah is a better judge. Therefore, the correct thinking is not to betray one's fitrah and to obey, to disobey Allah's commandments. This is the way for the correct thinking. So, Mu'mineen, and I will try to end this here, that if we have no choice but to think, then learning how to think correctly is also not a choice. It is incumbent. And what defines correct thinking, inshallah tomorrow, we will talk about various things. As to how you have the end and justifying the means, We talk about relative morality. We talk about qualities of using the Quran and how the Khawarij were thinking in the way that they were. We talk about pluralism and modernism. And we also talk about a subject where we say that it's whom a charity or it's whom a duty is a matter of thinking correction. As the Shaykh says, that whom to them are, and I'm not asking for any funds here, that whom to them are, mawadat ishaq hai. Whom to them are, mawadat ishaq hai. Nadela, misle khadak hai guna. Whom to them are to pay whom? It is a condition of that love of our life, mawadat ishaq hai. Nadela, misle khadak hai guna. Khadak was taken on a whole yuzah. Not to pay, is to reserve the right of Imam Hujjah Ajjalallahu Ta'ala. I'm still on the subject, talking about thinking and stupid thinking. That whom zena mamata tishat hai, nabena misle farak hai guna. Hakke saadatu zahra ke makroon se, Hakke saadatu zahra ke makroon se, one who was a death, to Imam Hujjah, مقبول ہے حق کے سادات و زہرا کے سفر راہ جب سنی تو ہنسی ہے لیٹ اس تھنک کریکٹلی وی آر ہیئر ٹو ٹاک اباؤٹ مولا تو سکتے ہیں ٹاک اباؤٹ مولا حسین علیہ السلام ٹو گیو لاف نا آن دور اینیمیز دی ول گیو یو سفر راہ بٹ وین وی ہیو ناٹ گیون اور ٹرو ٹو اور امام اینڈ وی گوئنگ ٹو سفر راہ دس از اے میٹر آف ناٹ رائٹ And there are many things in our lives. And I tell you that if you teach a little child that anything that you do, you must begin with the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And he will. And somebody says, well, I invite that. Now I'll say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And I'm going to steal even the child and ask him what kind of a duality is this. You take the name of Allah and then you go out and steal. Mu'mineen, how many of us when you go out early in the morning? And we recite our Allah, and we recite our Fajr prayer. Having decided Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim as we go through our house, think to say, I've taken the name of Allah. Definitely no land that I've seen in my life that is good. It is a matter of thinking, it is a matter of correction. And this is the basis that when the Holy Prophet was crowned son of Allah, the Divine Son of Allah, don't come out, say, La ilaha illallah, so that you will be delivered. You are expecting action from so that you will be by mere fear of attacking La ilaha illallah, he's not going to be your deliverance. It was a message that would be mind and understood by all those who are in heaven. This was the point of the message. That as they were going towards Karbala, there were many who were given an opportunity to leave in honor of Henry. Those who were thinking correctly, those who knew where they were going, those who knew why they were going, those who knew that they have said La ilaha illallah, and therefore Bayah of Yazid, or to live in the realm of Yazid was simply not the dancing that you would not do it, remain with Imam Hussein and Ishmael, those who did not follow and state that. Then there was another group of people, to whom the message of La ilaha illallah passed, to whom every opportunity to perform within the net of La ilaha illallah passed. These were the people of Kufa, through whom the whole thing passed. The whole idea of Hazadari, as we understand it, they actually saw it, it passed to them. It did not reform their society. The Kufis remained Kufis with the same sacrament of letting people down. It did not change them. Mu'mineen, we have to study history, we have to think, to say that are we going to be like the Kufis when the Azadari passes through us? Then when the under of Muharram passes, there is no change? It is a matter of thinking, this is what Karbala teaches us. And let alone Muslims. But tonight I would like to share with you just one martyr. One martyr was Wahab al-Kalbi, who was not even a Muslim. Wahab was recently married. And he was traveling back through Karbala to go to his hometown and he had just been married with his wife and his mother. That Wahab was actually passing through. This was the person who had not become a Muslim yet. When he witnessed to the light of the Imam Hussein al-Islam, he decided to stay and join him. So much so, that when the Imam learned that Wahhabi has recently been married, Imam al-Hussein said, "You do not have to be with me. Please go save your life." But it was a level of humanity. It was a particular point and method. It was that understanding we can extend to the power of somebody who is not a member of the tribe to be able to see the plight of Imam, to be able to see where the right path there he was willing, and he actually did give his life in the cause in Islam. And it is said that his wife, his newly wed wife, was the only woman who was actually martyred in Karbala, because after, on the day of Ashura, when one was killed, it was, it is said that when she ran out, could not control herself, that she also lost her life. These are teachings. And on the other hand, there were those in the army of Yazid, there were those in the army of Yazid, who could not think correctly when the Imam Hussein al-Islam told them that if you do not follow any religion, although they were Muslims, they called themselves Muslims, that if you do not follow any religion, at least think as free men. And they could not. And the instinct of taking just took the better of them. And it was the day of Ashura that they did what they did. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Mu'min. کچھ الفاظ اردو میں انہوں نے قربانی کے لیے کافی کہ رسول اکرم کی پوری زندگی رسول اکرم کی تعلیمات سے کہ جو لینے کا جذبہ ہے وہ دینے کے جذبے میں کیسے تبدیل ہو سکتا ہے رسول اکرم نے ہمیں سکھایا. لیکن کربلا میں ان چکیوں کے پاس جو لینے کا جذبہ تھا وہ دینے کے جذبے کا بالکل نہیں بدلا. اور روز عاشورہ اگر ہم دیکھتے ہیں کہ امام حسین علیہ السلام کے سامنے وہ مسلمان بھی جو اپنے آپ کو کلمہ پڑھ دیتے ہیں لا الہ الا اللہ کا کلمہ پڑھ دیتے ہیں مگر چار کے لا الہ الا اللہ کا میسج وہ سمجھے ہوتے ہیں. مومنین عاشور کے دن عاشور کی شام کے پاس شام غریب کی شام ایک منظر کے ایک بیٹی نکلتی ہے کلموں سے اور کہنے سے راوی کہتا ہے کہ میں نے دیکھا کہ اس بیٹی کا منظر جلا ہوا ہے. راوی نے کہا کہ میں نے کوشش کی کہ میں پاس جا کے اس منظر سے آپ شاید بجا دوں. یہاں جناب سکینہ نے کہا کہ خبردار تم نام محرم ہو ہمیں ہاتھ مت لگانا. مومنین راوی یہ کہتا ہے کہ میں نے پوچھا کہ بچی کہاں جا رہی ہو تو جواب ملا کہ مجھے نجف کا راستہ دکھا دو. پوچھا راوی نے کہ نجف کا کی کیا کرو گی. جناب سکینہ نے جواب دیا کہ نجف جا کے دادا سے پر یاد کروں گی کہ ہمارے خیمے جلائے گئے. مومنین ایک اور منظر جناب سکینہ کے لیے یزید کا دربار ہے. شام میں یزید کا دربار ہے. وہاں یزید نے جناب سکینہ کی طرف دیکھا, پہچانتا تھا کمبر کے کون ہے. انہوں نے پوچھا کہ بیٹی بتاؤ آپ کا نام کیا ہے. ہوٹ ہلے جناب سکینہ کے ہوٹ ہلے مگر آواز نہیں نکلی. دوسری مرتبہ جب یزید نے پوچھا امام رمضان میں نے کہا کہ یزید تو دیکھتا نہیں کہ رسی برابر نہیں ہوئی ہے کہ اس بچی کی آواز نہیں نکلتی. جب رسی کھولی گئی اور جواب دیا کہ میرا نام سکینہ ہے اور میں حسین کی بیٹی ہوں. یزید پوچھتا ہے اس طرح سکینہ سے کہ جب بابا آپ سے پیار کرتے تو آپ کو کیا کھلاتے تھے. جناب سکینہ نے جواب دیا کہ بابا ہمیں کھجور کھلایا کرتے تھے. یزید نے حکم دیا کہ اس سے کھجور کا تختہ لایا جائے. تختہ لایا جائے اور وہاں دربار کے اندر یزید نے حکم دیا کہ آؤ ہاں وہ سکینہ یہ ہاتھ کے کھجورے دے دو اس سکتے پہ کپڑا تھا مومن سن سکو گے یہ بے آدمی سن سکو گے کہ جان چلانے سکینہ اس سکتے کے شریف جاتی ہے اور حضرت صحیح نظر سے جناب میں اور آدمی کے سامنے نہیں کیے رہے ہمارے سامنے تاری بیٹی بیٹی اپنی مجھے سلام کرو جب تک کا بتایا تو مار کہہ دے گا امام حسین علیہ السلام
جہاں جہاں بھی ہو مصیبتوں میں ہو ہمارے مسلمان پاکستان میں فلسطین میں انڈیا میں جہاں بھی ہو ان کی حفاظت کر جو لاکھ لاکھ ہیں ان کا پتا دے رہے ہیں جو مزدور ہے ان کا پتا دے رہے ہیں جو بیمار ہے ان کو صحت کاملہ عطا کرے اور جلد سے جلد ہمارے امام کا مدد کرے